This morning, state lawmakers are hearing bills that are a result of people being turned away from stores like Walmart as they sought shelter from a possible missile threat. The chair of the House Public Safety Committee talks about the legislation and also his reaction to the report about what really happened at the State Emergency Management Agency during what was supposed to be a drill.
I was surprised that someone, a staff member who was in a key role at emergency management and had a history dating back years of inability to perform his job, which in this case was a crucial job, was allowed to remain in that position rather than, you know, something else. That was my number one surprise. Number two was that in those crucial 38 minutes when everyone was sitting around wondering whether it was false or real or what, that at the headquarters, at the command center, no one really seemed to take control. There were a number of employees, according to the report, that were doing various things, but no one really seemed to take the bull by the horns and say, let's figure out a way to send out a false alarm message ASAP. And that, to me, was not really well-managed.
Right, so you've got 2 weak links there.
Yes.
What do you hope happens going forward?
Well, going forward, I am waiting for the report from General Hara. But in the meantime, I am going to be asking the legislature to move forward on creating a disaster preparedness task force that pulls in people from various facets of the community that really have a stake in emergencies like this. For example, the Association of Broadcasters, the tourism industry, our public schools and University of Hawaii, because number one, I would like outside eyes to take a look at the corrective actions that are being undertaken to see if they really are going to correct the situation. And number two, I think that even though we talk about restoring confidence in the emergency management agency, that it really has to be earned. And I think the way to earn it is to bring in outside eyes from our local community and have them participate in the review and participate in the actions that go forward. So I am proposing that this task force report back to the next legislature as to legislative actions that may be needed. And maybe keep it going because, you know, we're talking about nuclear missile attacks, and this is something really recent that's only popped up in the last 6 months as an emergency situation. Who knows what will happen in the next 6 months or years to come? So I think we need an ongoing working group to look at emergency situations like this.
Did you feel that the administration might have misled the public in the early days about what had transpired that morning?
Well, there seems to have been some miscommunication over what the worker, the so-called button pusher, knew at the time this all happened. I would have hoped that it would have been clarified sooner, but I can understand the responsibility of the administration to want to wait until all the facts were in as far as the investigation was involved, because, you know, it does involve personnel issues, and so those can be sensitive if not handled correctly.
There's been some talk about the software that the agency uses. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's another thing. You know, I know that there is some controversy over how modern and how effective the software used was, but that's why I think I'd like some outside eyes to take a look at what is the best practice in terms of other institutions using this kind of system, and, you know, what are other states doing? I know we're the forerunner in terms of issuing alerts for nuclear attacks, but every one of the other 49 states has some kind of statewide emergency system. So, you know, let's take a look at what other states are doing to see if we really are keeping up with the most modern technology.
It was interesting to see the different responses We did hear of some establishments turning people away who maybe mm-hmm. sought shelter during that time, knowing they only had maybe 15 minutes. We understand your committee is looking at a number of bills.
Yeah, we have several bills dealing with the responsibility and liability of stores and other public facilities. The gamut of proposals include proposals that stores be required to keep people in who want to stay in and to allow people in who aren't in, or subject them to penalties if they don't do that. And so the other range simply provides an exemption from liability if an establishment allows people in and something happens to them, an accident or something else. So we're going to be considering those bills. I know what people are trying to do. They want to be able to find a safe haven in a store if they're already in a store or if they're nearby a store. The trick is writing that into law.
We did talk with Mufi Hanneman, the head of the Lodging and Tourism Association, and they've polled their members. They're trying to come up with some solutions to see, you know, how, since things were probably handled kind of unevenly across the board, and what they can do better.
And that's another thing. When I talked earlier about, you know, maybe forming a task force to look at emergency situations and dealing with emergency situations, I would also include the retail merchants and Chamber of Commerce to get their input as to, you know, what really are the best practices for retail establishments in the case of not just a possible nuclear attack, but a hurricane or tsunami or every other range of possible disaster. What really should stores and hotels and other establishments be doing?
Right, when people are just trying to get out of harm's way.
Exactly, yeah.
You don't want to be turned away.
Yeah, but then, you know, when you look at it further, it also raises questions. Like, for example, what if most people think of big box stores as being a place to seek haven, but what if we're talking about a mom-and-pop store and it's already full? You know, should they be required under law to accept more people, even though it might pose a safety problem in itself? What about pets? People travel around in their cars with pets all the time. Should they also be allowed in under state law? So there are a number of questions that are a little bit more complicated than what you might think.
And so those are just the committees or the bills that your committee is going to be hearing or is looking at.
Yes.
Have you heard anything about what might be underfoot on the Senate side or in other similar subject committees?
No, I haven't heard about any other Senate bills, but my committee seems to be the first step in terms of handling all the House legislation that deals with emergency situations.
Okay. And anything else you want to share just about what state lawmakers can do, you know, to improve the situation, given knowing what we know now about mm-hmm. the shortcomings either of the agency or just people's response?
Well, the thought that I have is that I know that there are a lot of people who remain very upset, of course, what happened on January 13th. And I know that there are a number of people who want the legislature to do something, anything, to prevent this from happening again. At times like this, when there is really an emotional outcry for us to do something, is sometimes not the best time to do something just to get something done. So I'm hoping that our legislature can, you know, examine the situation calmly and, you know, really come up with something that works, not just in reaction to something, but in the interests of making our entire community safer.
That was Representative Greg Takayama, who chairs the House Public Safety Committee. He tells us that next week his committee will also take up additional bills to allow the public to take refuge in state buildings like libraries or schools in the event of an immediate threat. This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio, and all week our listeners have been sharing their thoughts about whether their trust in the State Emergency Management Agency has been shaken now that we have the results of the investigative report.
Hi, this is Daniel Laraway. I'm calling from Kapahulu. Yes, I feel safe. I think there were some lessons learned the worst thing that happened already happened. The possible worst thing that could happen with this kind of system happened, which is a false alarm. And I think, you know, there's always going to be a potential for human error. But I think but I think that rather than making it more bureaucratic, I think it's just you have to take a little tiny risk of something like that happening again just in order for it to be efficient and get the word out. It seemed to work pretty well. It's just that that one guy he was messing with it, and so that's why it went wrong. That's my thoughts. Yes, I basically feel safe. Thank you.
My name is David Glickman. I'm calling from Maui. I think the biggest problem in the ballistic missile notification is the fact that right afterwards, everyone all the way up to the governor lied to us. Oh, a man pushed the wrong button. Oh, it was a change of shift and someone sat on a button. And all these other stories that came out, official stories from the officials, that were all lies. Now we find out there was a systemic problem with the employee himself, who was then not even taken out of circulation, but was continuing to work and be paid for at this agency when they knew there was problems. So I think the main problem here is the lies told to the public. That's much worse than the investigation and finding out the different truths. Thank you.
Stay with us. We'll have more of your calls later in this hour. This is The Conversation.